Now, are you interested in science as a blind or partially sighted person? Well, many blind people say that they didn't actually like science at school, that they couldn't actually do it because it was so visual. It just needed someone to make it accessible. Well, that's all about to change. The world's first interactive tactile collider, designed by visually impaired students, two scientists and a science teacher from the Northwest, has created huge demand for the International Science Symposium. Particle Colliders, Accelerating Innovation. And that's in Liverpool this week, Friday the 22nd. Now, it sounds like a very exciting project. I'm joined now by two of the scientists that are involved. Let me introduce to you Dr. Chris Edmonds and Professor Carsten Welsh. Hello to you.
Hello. Hi.
Professor Carsten, tell us a bit about what we can expect tomorrow.
So tomorrow what we are planning to do is essentially a celebration of scientific progress over decades, really. So we are going to look into the discoveries that were made possible by using particle accelerators, these giant atom clusters that smash particles together at almost the speed of light and then unravel the secrets of nature. And we are not only going to do that, we are also going to look into what the future may bring in terms of such research infrastructure, so what's in the planning in the next 10, 20, maybe 30 years. And we're also going to look into how do these discoveries impact on everyday life. So how do accelerators make a real change in science and society?
And Dr. Edmonds, tell us your involvement with this then. You're involved with the actual tactile collider.
That's right, yeah. So tactile collider is a project that started a couple of years ago. And it's a project that aims to make the science of particle accelerators accessible to an audience that's visually impaired.
Tell us a bit about the science then of trying to find the Higgs boson, I believe it's called. Because it amazes me that when we look at the original collider, it's so big to find something so small.
That's because we need to get these particles up to really high energies, and it takes quite a lot of effort to do that. So we've had to build the world's biggest machine that accelerates these particles up to very close to the speed of light. And that's so fast that these particles can travel around the Earth 7.5 times in a single second. Once we've got the particles up to this speed, we smash them together, and we start to see particles such as the Higgs boson and understand a little bit more about the origins of the universe.
Previously, as we've mentioned, science has been a bit inaccessible to those with vision problems. How have you made this an accessible project?
Well, We've tried to make it accessible following a very long consultation. So the project itself started a number of years ago when Marika Nevin, who was working in one of the UK science centres, hosted an event called Collide. And this was an exhibition that aimed to make particle accelerators accessible to a very wide audience. But unfortunately, two visually impaired people visited the exhibit and found that there wasn't that much there for them. So she invited University of Manchester academic Rob Appleby along to try and make this science accessible. And they took a few tactile objects. Following this, the idea was born and of having this tactile collider, and STFC funded this project. And we spent a long time going out to meet a lot of people with visually impairment, trying to understand what it was they wanted from one of these science experiences. And of course, they said pretty much what you said before, that many of these people have been told that science wasn't for them, they wouldn't be able to do it. So we spent the time to try and figure out what would work for people. And the result of this are things you can touch, so 3D printed magnets, audio experiences, and also an almost life-size model of a particle accelerator called Cassie.
Well, has it been hard to actually translate this into an accessible format?
It took an extensive development period. So yeah, it did take quite some time to do. We had a lot of support from some very good people, people who worked for museums, for example, and making content accessible to people with VI. And also we had very good support from a teacher who joined our team called Robin Watson from Bolton Visual Impairment Services.
Now, I've heard, Professor Carsten, that we're talking about the next generation of science. Is that what we're looking at here?
Yeah, so tomorrow what we want to do is have a look at how might a future collider, even larger than the world's currently largest collider, the LHC at CERN, look like. So that could be a 100 kilometer circumference machine that goes to energies that were never accessed in any experiment before. So We're going to look into that. We're going to look into what kind of discoveries we could expect from such a machine, and also what kind of technologies are needed in order to take us there. So what are at the moment the technology barriers that prevent us from even thinking about building such a machine? And then we will also discuss how could these technologies benefit society in other ways. And to basically do a step further in the approach to how we involve the visually impaired community, we will have all the talks in the morning of the symposium accessible also to the visually impaired. So we will have a narrator there that explains the slides that will be on display. And we really want to have a dialogue between communities and be fully integrative on the day.
So are you hoping that this will inspire more young, blind and partially sighted people to get involved with science?
Yeah, innovation needs the greatest minds and the best ideas, and these ideas should not be stopped from any form of access issues. So we really want to be inclusive, and as I said before, the time scale for these developments is decades rather than years. So we're looking 30, 40 years in the future, so we need to engage with these young children now, because they are the future of both science and society.
And Dr. Edmonds, have you been using modern technologies to try and incorporate that in making it accessible?
We have. So the 3D printing process itself that we used wouldn't have been possible perhaps 10 years ago. Also, in terms of creating something that was immersive for the young people that we encounter, we use something called binaural audio. This is where you get a truly kind of sense of location when you're in one of these sound experiences. It's a bit like virtual reality for sound. And this has been used to put one of these young people into a particle accelerator and experience what it is to be accelerated close to the speed of light.
I don't know if I like the sound of that. That sounds quite scary.
Sounds quite nauseating, right?
Oh, what was the response from the young people that are involved?
It's been overwhelmingly positive. The young people we've met, they've really enjoyed engaging with our scientists, and really enjoyed the conversations that they've had surrounding the scientists. Surrounding the science. And some of them have shown interest in potentially following a career in science in future.
Because I was thinking, in some ways, if you're making it accessible to blind and partially sighted people, it actually is probably making it more accessible to most people, isn't it?
Absolutely. We've had to think very carefully about the way in which we convey different messages. And taking the time to really explain what it is that you're showing is something we do try and do within our lecturing at the university. But it's always interesting to see how we could do it much, much better for a public audience.
And you never know, with somebody who's not relying on sight, perhaps a different thought process will bring in some lateral thinking as well.
It's a very interesting idea, and I'd be interested in exploring that further.
So where is it all taking place?
The event is taking place at the ACC in Liverpool, which is a very large conference centre, and we expect close to 1,000 participants tomorrow.
And can anybody go?
So the registration is now closed, so unfortunately it's no longer possible to join the actual event, but all of the morning talks will be available online, so via the event website. One can simply click on a button and then follow all of the talks of the symposium on particle colliders via YouTube, and also engage in the discussion by sending us questions about the event via Twitter or Instagram.
I believe you're going to be taking it on tour.
So Titan Alpha Collider itself has been on tour for the last 2 years. So we've been as far north as Edinburgh, I think, and we'd like to take it a little bit further north if given the opportunity. At the moment, we've been as far south as Hereford, which, okay, we could go a little bit further, but hopefully in the next year or so we will do.
I heard that you might be going abroad, that's what I heard.
Ah, there is definitely a trip to CERN on the cards for later this year.
Fantastic. Well, do you have a web address for more information?
So for Tactile Collider, our web address is tactilecollider.uk.
Oh, sorry, is that it?
it's a very short address.
And also to get in touch with the symposium that you were talking about, Professor Carsten, what's the web address for that?
So the best way to find it is to go via the Liverpool Physics Department, and there it's on the start page, and that's www.liv.ac.uk/physics.
It sounds very exciting. Dr. Chris Edmonds and Professor Carsten Welsh, we wish you the best for the events coming up, and thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you.